Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Next Witness, Please. We're a podcast that decodes legal jargon and procedures and break them down to everyday terms for people just to understand. Our goal is to build public understanding of the law and our legal systems. I'm retired Judge Tom Hodson. I'm joined by my co-host, retired Judge Gail Williams Byers. Judges, both state and federal, are increasingly under attack and are becoming targets of abuse from citizens and politicians alike. Sometimes state legislatures target judges for punishment for First Amendment speech. One such case is happening in Ohio, and today Judge Gail and I are going to try to break that down and talk about judges and the First Amendment. Judge Gail, we've got some interesting happenings in Ohio.
Boy, do we. But it seems like it tracks with, you know, perhaps what's happening in a lot of areas and a lot of states.
Well, let me just say that Municipal Court Judge Ted N. Barry, a municipal court judge in Cincinnati, Ohio, is being the subject of an attempt to remove him from office, basically an impeachment by two members of the Ohio General Assembly, Ohio's legislature, because he made some comments that they thought were inappropriate after Charlie Kirk's death. This is not normal. And what are your thoughts initially about this process?
Well, I'll tell you, I've got a lot of them, and I think they all kind of converge at once. So we can take them in whatever order or add to them. But the first thought, I think, was that this was kind of shocking because as retired judges, we're very familiar with and acquainted with the process for which judges are disciplined or addressed. And that generally happens through either the Office of Disciplinary Counsel or the Ohio and or the Ohio Supreme Court, which the Office
and
of
Disciplinary Counsel is part of the Ohio Supreme Court. It's all a part of the Code of Judicial Conduct, which is embodied by the Supreme Court and policed by the Supreme Court.
Indeed. And this is something that you and I both know is drilled into judges when we're lawyers, right? And so you kind of understand where the authority flows. And this in particular seems to have been just really outside the norm of how we address or deal with whatever, you know, complaints or discontent someone might have with a judge.
Well, the judge, according to the concurrent resolution, this is what they're upset about. They say, and they are two of the state legislators who have brought this action. They have Adam Matthews, who's from Lebanon, Ohio, and DJ Swearingen from Huron, Ohio, in the upper part of Ohio. This is what they say. They say, in response to the assassination of Charlie Kirk on September 10th, 2025, Judge Barry posted a series of public comments on social media, including, quote, "So a white guy killed him. Color it karma," end quote. Second, "Rest in hatred and division," end quote. The last, quote, "How's he feel about gun violence and gun control in hell now?" End quote. These legislators have said that because those were uttered by Judge Barry on social media, who, by the way, is the son of the first African-American mayor of Cincinnati, that because those were uttered, he is unfit for office. That seems to me to be a stretch.
And I chuckle because I absolutely agree with you. I think there's a more intellectual conversation to be had. Let me first say this. I do not in any way endorse, you know, violence, hatred toward anyone, dead or alive. At the same time, I think what is important to be addressed here is, you know, kind of this arcane rule where the legislature, at least in this instance, appears to try to substitute itself for the court. And to me, that is, I'm not even sure if we were all aware of this process in Ohio for, you know, for what the legislators did.
Basically impeachment. They call it removal. It's an action to bring Judge Barry before the legislature to show cause why he should not be removed.
Yeah. And at the same time, I also want to say that the comments, without regard to what you may think of them substantively, the comments were not made as it relates to any case pending or impending before Judge Barry. There does not seem to be any indicia that his sentiments or his comments with regard to this and in any way influences or clouds his judgment as a jurist. It does not even appear that there were any litigants in whether civil or criminal that appeared in his court that were in any way impacted negatively or receive some kind of favorable treatment because of, or as a result of, or in relation to these comments. So I want to point out that, at least in my view, there seems to, you know, certainly be the disconnection between the comments and statements themselves and what the legislators are seeking to accomplish here with the punishment effort. Now, again, I do understand, and I think you and I will agree, that there is a responsibility for, you know, judges to, you know, always be conscientious and cognizant of the role that we have asked society to place us in. Because remember, judges aren't drafted. You can be appointed, you can be elected, but you're never going to be drafted. Nobody's coming to pluck you out of your house and then just, you know, crown you a judge. You're either asking to be appointed or you're asking the voters to trust you so that they can elect you to these positions. But at the same time, I think, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, I think it's a really intelligent and timely conversation to ask if judges, no matter their station, whether it is your, you know, municipal judge or your, you know, or your appellate judge, if judges trade their First Amendment rights for their judicial robes, do you give up one for the sake of having the other? Is that really the bargain? Is that what judges expected? I think, in my view, I think most would say, no, I didn't plan for, think, or believe that I would no longer have a First Amendment right. And if that's the case, the other question I'd ask you to consider is whether or not this could be considered political speech on the part of Judge Barry. And is political speech not like the highest form of protected speech? And then it sort of invites other issues or concerns for us to deal with. Because I really genuinely think that there's something to be said for asking judges to take on the awesome responsibility of handling cases of and also living life. Because remember, judges don't operate in a vacuum. They still live their lives with the same titles that everyone else does as well. And with that in mind, are they expected to view the news or the happenings in society and have no opinion about anything? Are they expected to not say anything? I think that's unrealistic. And because it's so unrealistic, and because it just doesn't seem to track with what we expect from just as a function of human nature, I think, you know, perhaps we may be expecting a little bit more out of judges than what's reasonable. And certainly given, you know, kind of the rapid fire way with which things happen in today's society. I mean, the headlines, there used to be a time when we expected headlines to change from day to day. I think now we expect headlines to change almost minute to minute, or at least hour to hour, because there's always something new. And with the rapidity of that, with the swiftness with which it happens, we can't pretend that judges aren't affected or impacted by that, because they just are. And they do have opinions. They do have feelings. They do see things from a perspective. Yes, it may be unique, but they do see things from a perspective. And I think that perspective is worthy of, you know, consideration without fear that they may be replaced on the bench when those two may be completely disconnected, one having nothing to do with the other. I mean, so if I said I don't like Frosted Flakes and there's a whole movement to, you know, really love Tony the Tiger and Frosted Flakes, is that, I mean, my opinion about that, is that really cause for removal from the bench when there's nothing about me disliking Frosted Flakes that has any impact on any case that I'm handling or anyone in front of me? Those things.
The only time that would be relevant is if you had a case about Frosted Flakes.
Indeed. And so the same holds true for Judge Barry. The only time it should be relevant is if he had a case, at least in my opinion, is if he had a case related to Mr. Kirk directly that could stand to impact his decision making. Because remember, the judicial canons do require that we avoid impropriety and even the appearance of impropriety, and that, you know, we're always showing fidelity to the law. And so unless he's being improper, I'm just really struggling to understand the connectedness short of a political agenda.
Well, speaking of political agendas, the Ohio Legislative Black Caucus came out with support for Judge Barry, saying the resolution to impeach him represents a serious overreach of legislative authority and troubling misuse of taxpayer resources. They say it's not about judicial ethics. It's about weaponizing the legislative power to target and humiliate a prominent Black jurist. What do you think about that?
I think that for the Black Legislative Caucus, they certainly identify a concern that at least on its face appears legitimate, right? That this is, it seems to suggest that without regard to whatever level you reach professionally, you are still not permitted to say certain things about certain people who may represent from certain groups. And that is, I think that's the exact opposite of what a democracy is supposed to stand for. Should judges be, I mean, it has the, what Sandra Day O'Connor would have called the chilling effect, right? It could have the effect of chilling speech in judges. And that actually, I think, is worse than permitting them the free exercise of their First Amendment right. That, to me, I think is probably one of the worst things we could do.
What if Judge Barry, in your mind, had just said on social media, Charlie Kirk is dead, I disagreed with Charlie Kirk? Is that different than what they're claiming?
I don't think so. I think there's a different choice of words, but I think the sentiment remains the same. There can be no mistake in reading the comments that clearly Judge Barry disagreed with the position and the stance that Mr. Kirk held during his lifetime. That is unmistakable. Had he said that differently, or maybe, you know, more deferentially in the eyes of the legislators, then perhaps he would not have faced what he faced by way of the effort to remove him. But then that also kind of, again, calls into question, you know, how you can exercise your free speech rights. And again, this, I think, is, it kind of fits, you know, squarely within that realm of political speech, which is one of the highest forms of protected speech. He's not required to say things in a way that is pleasing to the eyes or ears of certain legislators simply because they may hold the power, ability, or authority to remove him professionally. Now, here's what I will say conversely to that, right? And so you tell me what you think about this. While I also say that, think of how many times in random instances we've seen, especially in the last several years, we've seen individuals post really dark or disrespectful or unbecoming comments on social media without regard to who it may be pointed at, and their private employers have then subsequently fired them. Those things have happened as well. And right. So do you think that there's a double standard here?
Well, I think that a lot of employers have policies that control what their employees can say as a condition of employment. Mm-hmm. I think that's different. Here we have an elected judge who follows disciplinary and code of conduct guidelines. And I don't see that any of those necessarily were breached here. You know, it just didn't happen. You know, he stated political opinion, but there's nothing I see in the disciplinary code that says you can't state a political opinion.
You're absolutely right. I don't know that I've ever read that requirement or that rule in the disciplinary code that says, again, I'm back to the, do you think judges trade one for the other? Do you think they trade their free speech rights for their robes?
I think that, no. let me say no. I don't think that they do. I think people would want them to do that. And again, it goes back. Does their opinion color a case before them? That's what really matters. Are they in court unbiased and fair to all parties? Period.
I do agree. And I believe, again, in this instance, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, was there even an instance where the legislators who brought this could even identify a connectedness between whatever statements were made online and any impact to, you know, his ability to carry out his work ethically, professionally, judicially?
It's all projected. They have no examples. Their conclusion, this is not about politics. It's about the public's right to have an impartial judiciary. Well, I think that's hogwash.
But the public doesn't lose an impartial member of the judiciary. There's nothing about these comments that suggests he lacks the ability to remain objective and impartial with the cases that come before him. And again, unless you can show me some connection between the two, I'm just kind of stumped on how you tether those two things together. And also, to your opening point, why you bypass the Office of Disciplinary Counsel, which has been purposely set up to address or deal with
these things. To vet these things.
Right. I mean, the judge holds a law license. If you don't like it, then file a complaint. They have essentially prosecutorial authority. You can file your complaint and give them the opportunity to investigate and to decide how they would handle this matter when it comes to the judiciary. I think, again, we're back to the separate co-equal branches of government. When you have the separate co-equal branches of government, just because there's perhaps a mechanism or a trigger in the law that would or may allow you to do this, do you do this? I don't think so. And are you going to do this just for Mr. Kirk, or are you going to do this anytime you believe this or any other judge has said something about this or some other person that you may not like on social media? So what happens if Judge Barry said this to someone while in his chambers on break and he's having a casual conversation? Does that mean that he lacks impartiality? Does that mean that he should be subjected to this? If it's not on social media for all eyes to see, but perhaps was said in an environment where someone did hear it, is that any different? And should he be subjected to this process notwithstanding?
Well, in their testimony, the sponsors, Adam Matthews and DJ Swearingen, said this: the judiciary depends on the people's trust that cases will be decided fairly and without prejudice. When a judge expresses open hostility towards individuals or group based on political affiliation or race, that trust is eroded. For the citizens of Hamilton County who may appear before Judge Barry, confidence in the fair hearing is indispensable. What do you think of that?
Oh, Judge.
I'm giving you an opening. I'm giving you an opening.
Oh, Judge. I don't know that I can say more than what I've already said, because I do agree with the Black Legislative Caucus insofar as I don't know that I believe this is the best use of tax dollars. I do not believe that, all things considered, this is the best use of tax dollars if, in fact, we don't see these same legislators going to the mats, as it relates to, are they doing this? If I could just be candid, are they doing it to white judges? Are they experiencing
this? This is the only one.
Pushback?
This is the only one. If somebody had said, if a white judge had said, oh, Charlie Kirk died, what a terrible tragedy. This is the ruination of the country, blah, blah, blah. Something supportive of Charlie Kirk, would they be biased now?
Yeah, I think if they had just said something, maybe disparaging, I don't know. But I tend to think that if they had said something disparaging about Charlie Kirk, that they may not have the same experience that Judge Barry's having. And I could
What if
be
they
wrong.
Said something encouraging about Charlie Kirk? Is that the same?
Yes, absolutely. And here's why. Because saying something, if the argument holds true that this could affect the objectivity of the judge, then imagine how, the argument could be made, well, how about a defendant that doesn't support Charlie Kirk's stand? How will this judge treat them if it, has the ability to affect their impartiality? But I also don't know that you would have seen such forceful pushback, and certainly not legislative efforts in this regard to essentially cancel the judge. This is they're far more either the legislature has run out of things to do, or they're just not really interested in governing, because I genuinely believe there are far more important things for them to focus on than this. And since when did a single individual become such a martyr? I mean, that to me is...
Untouchable as far as...
And yes, but let me tell you, in all candor, I do not support violence. Again, as a former prosecutor, I would absolutely not support what has happened to Mr. Kirk. However, I think that is pretty clear that there is enough of a swath in this divided country that certainly reflect on some things that he has said previously, whether it was in or out of context. And the belief is that they did not really, that his comments didn't really align with their values. And that is obviously true for Judge Barry's statements. And presumably in Judge Barry's mind, the fact that you were the victim of a gunslinging does not absolve the way that you espouse what was at least perceived by him to be hate and venom and vitriol during your lifetime. So how you died doesn't absolve how you lived. At least that's how I'm interpreting it.
Well, let me read you one more paragraph in the testimony of these two legislators before the legislative committee in support of their joint concurrent resolution.
Must you, but okay.
Yes. Since these posts were made, Judge Barry has had over a month to take the honorable path and resign. Whoop. His actions have fallen far short of the sacred trust invested in his position, and the legislature must now act to defend the courts.
So I do have an opinion about this. And I say that because I can speak, and I do speak from my own personal experience when I was on the bench. And I, quite frankly, and I think we had done prior, you know, episodes on Spectrum on this, I certainly experienced racism as a sitting judge. And I was not shy, and I am not shy because much of that, you know, administration is still intact. I am not shy about calling them the racist that they are. They absolutely are. I genuinely believe that the mayor is a card-carrying member of the Ku Klux Klan, may even be the, you know, the local president, the local chapter president. I just wonder if she gets, you know, discounts for, you know, starching her hood a little extra when she takes it into the cleaners. And so if that is in fact the case, and I can absolutely express my First Amendment right by calling what I have experienced and I know to be racism, what it is that a basis to remove me from the bench? Absolutely not. No more than I believe it's a basis to remove Judge Barry from the bench for what he's, you know, clearly interpreted as, at least during Mr. Kirk's lifetime, statements, comments, positions that were offensive to him as a person, a citizen, maybe even as a Black man. I won't crawl into his head and kind of substitute my judgment for his, but you know it when you experience it, you know it when you see it, and you know when, you know, hatred exists, and you know when the derivation of that is largely based upon race. And I absolutely believe that the answer to my own question to start this is no, judges do not trade their First Amendment rights for judicial robes. The two can coexist, and they can, and one does not have to affect the other. Now, there may be times when judges are not careful and clear to ensure that those lines of demarcation are pronounced, such that they do not, you know, encroach on or have any impact on cases that they decide. But at the end of the day, you are not required to concede any fundamental rights for the sake of serving, because these same legislators don't do that when they make floor speeches, or when they make comments, or when they are very clear to express their opinions about something that maybe even their constituency does not agree with.
In fact, what they say on the floor is immune from any kind of action.
Precisely. Precisely. And again, had Judge Barry said this from the bench, I think that might have been different. I think we could probably both agree that if he were making these statements as part of a pronouncement in an opinion or part of a case, then I think we would be talking about this in a very different context.
Even if he had said it as an opening to an arraignment session or something, not even in a particular case, that would have been inappropriate. But this line, his actions have fallen far short of the sacred trust invested in his position. Sacred trust. I never thought I had a sacred trust, whatever the hell that means. You know, I had the trust of my constituency to do things properly, but I didn't think that I was ordained with any kind of sacred trust. And the legislature must now act to defend the courts. What about the Supreme Court? What, you know, why is the legislature defending all courts because this guy criticized Charlie Kirk after his death?
And the fact that the court itself apparently saw no need to respond because the court responds when there are formal complaints placed before it. So
I checked with the Ohio Supreme Court. They indicated the disciplinary actions until resolved are not public, but they have no public statement from the Supreme Court on this matter at all.
And so that's what leads me to believe that this is more political than anything. Because if you really respected the judiciary, I don't think that any legislator sees their role as needing to kind of substitute their judgment for that of the Supreme Court or to step in because the court hasn't quite gotten it right. There's a reason why there are separate lanes for all of us to travel in. And it seems in this instance that the legislature, on its own part, again, felt like, you know, perhaps the court had never even been, apparently, seemingly, hasn't even been given a chance to respond. No. And if they are, they are well within their rights to take on the process that is natural, normal, and already predetermined for situations like this without it being usurped by the legislature, who's deciding that they've taken what at least appears to be personal offense to the judge's statements. And here's the fact of the matter is it does not appear to me that he was writing this in his capacity as a judge. It just happens that he is a judge, but he is first a human being, a person, and a citizen. So how do we not afford him the courtesy and the reasonableness of seeing him first as an individual without the judicial robe? It just, again, it just happens that he is, but there's no requirement to filter every single thing he says through his position and his standing as a judge when he certainly holds other titles in his life that have nothing to do with his robe.
We may have buried the lead here, but you talked about this being political. I'd say yes, they filed this joint resolution, concurrent resolution. It's been assigned to committee. As I've read, they've put forth committee testimony. They've asked for the resignation of Judge Barry. Lamented the fact that he hasn't resigned, but his term's over January 4th, 2026.
Yeah. So back to the, is this an appropriate use of tax dollars?
Is this not an abuse of the judiciary?
Yeah, or bullying of the judiciary? Does this not send the message
by a MAGA legislature
that you better not say what we don't like? And if you do, we're going to step over into the lane. And no, we're not, because remember, even when the Ohio Disciplinary Council takes on something, there are certain levels of response, and not everything includes removal from the bench or, you know, removal of your law license.
No, there can be suspensions. There can be suspensions that are stayed. There are all kinds of things.
There can be
public
nothing.
Reprimand.
Yeah. Yeah, there could be nothing. But again, it seems like the legislature here is only interested in the nuclear option, I call it.
Well, the nuclear option, knowing he's out of office, his term is over January 4th.
And we find this inappropriate, and they find this actually an appropriate use of taxpayer dollars. I really think it is. You know,
and legislative time.
And legislative time, which again, I think underscores the political backstory to this.
Well, I think that this is a microcosm, Judge, of things we're seeing around the country where judges are under attack for not towing the MAGA line. And if you don't, they will seek out anything to embarrass you, attack you, challenge your credibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree. I think it's despicable. But I also think at the same time, you know, the judiciary is really holding fast to its independence. It's working hard to be, you know, the branch of government that seeks to reassure the American people that this is still a democracy.
Especially trial judges.
Yes.
Trial judges are working overtime, more than they ever have. They're more important to our system now than they've ever been.
I think they should be given combat pay. they are working just that hard to again, and part of it is just no matter how many times they get bashed or beat up or bad-mouthed or swatted or anything else, they still understand, you know, now more than ever, there is a responsibility to ensure the republic, the people, that democracy still exists. They should have a reason to expect that judges will do their part, that they will remain fair and objective, that they don't just bend and bow. I'm actually pleasantly surprised to see judges across the whole political spectrum, just as you said, doing kind of the yeoman's work, working overtime to help ensure that this democracy is stitched together. Because we often hear about, especially on the federal level, we hear about judges and then immediately hear about who appointed them as if their decisions should be in line with or in keeping with who they were appointed by. And we've just seen judges from the whole spectrum just really work really, really hard to help keep things together. And now we see this kind of drill down from the federal level all the way down to the state level. So this kind of underscores that old saying by Tip O'Neill, all politics is local.
Yeah.
This really is kind of the local thing. And it feels like it's, you know, come from that 30,000 foot view where everybody's seeing things kind of play out on the national stage. And now it's hitting in a backyard.
Yeah.
And I think people are really fed up with it.
It just shows how it trickles down to the lowest level of our governments.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with that, tell people how they can listen to us. We've got to run.
Indeed. And we invite you to keep tuning in and to keep joining us for these very interesting and engaging conversations that we're having. You can catch us anywhere you catch your favorite podcast. We are so honored to be on NPR's platform. Thank you, NPR. In addition to that, you can find Next Witness Please on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or as I said, anywhere you find your favorite podcast. We genuinely appreciate you tuning in and listening to us because our goal and our saying is that you don't trust what you don't understand. And so we hope that by sharing this information that we have improved your understanding and therefore enhanced your trust in us.
And we're open to have dialogue with you. In fact, we welcome it. So if you have a question about any of our podcast episodes, you can email that comment or question to me at hodson@ohio.edu. That's Hodson, my last name, H-O-D-S-O-N, at ohio.edu. Also, if you have topics you'd like for us to cover in the future, shoot me an email and we'll put your topic on our list for upcoming episodes. Next Witness Please is produced through the facilities of WOUB Public Media. Colin Cameron is our co-producer and audio engineer. Judge Gale and I will be back real soon to give you more insights into the law and our judicial processes. Until then, have a good day, everyone.
Take care, folks.